This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the previous few ahadith, we've been looking at some external traits or bad characteristics that some of us that we have that are far spread inside our society and inside our practices. And the essence of many of these external practices return back to inner elements of the body of the human being. And that's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned, "Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha." Indeed, inside the body of the human being is a piece of flesh, a lump of flesh. Idha saluhat saluhat jasadu kulluhu. If that piece of flesh becomes sound, then the whole body will become sound. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, aw kama qal sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Indeed, that is the heart. If the heart becomes sound, then the whole body becomes sound. And that's Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, in his collection, his works of Jami al-Ulum al-Hikam, explained this hadith, mentions, anna al-qalb huwa al-malik. The heart is the king. والجوارح الجنود, and the limbs are the foot soldiers, are the troops of the king. So when the troops are corrupt, it's not actually the troops which are corrupt. It's the actually corruption of the one who sends out the orders, because the limbs only carry out the commandments which are given to them. And thus we find the importance of dealing with amradul qulub, diseases of the heart. So many of us unfortunately begin to worry about the external element of the Muslim identity. Not to say it's not important, or we shouldn't focus upon that, but we can see that over zealousness of external display of a Muslim, if the internal has not been rectified, eventually it crumbles. Eventually you begin to see things, man atasawwar, things a person cannot imagine, words a person cannot imagine, actions a person cannot imagine, because why? The heart is corrupt. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That day your children and your wealth will not avail you, will not benefit you, will not help you, except for the individual who comes with a pure and a sound heart. And that's if we go back to the discussion of Adam alayhi salam, or the discussion that we're having about those bad external practices that we have, that the essence of the story of Adam goes back, if you look at the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf, to see what is the beginning of the external practice of Iblis, or the external practice, what the statement that he made, or what expelled Adam and Hawa from Jannah alayhi salam that we find. Because the Quran, which many of us fail to understand, we fail to depict or begin to extract, is the inner dimension of the Quran. The inner dimension of the Quran, we fail to extract that from the Quran. We just look at the external verses. We can't extract the inner message, the inner change that the Quran wants us to develop. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Possibly it could be, may Allah forbid, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't they ponder over the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Are there chains, shackles placed upon their hearts that prevent them from deciphering the Qur'an, from understanding the Qur'an, pondering over the Qur'an, taking the real message of the Quran? And thus we find the story, as we mentioned, about Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. Because in a previous khutbah we mentioned about the concept of modesty and not having shame, etc. But go back a few verses, whereby the story it mentions, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. When Allah said to Iblis, what has prevented you from performing the prostration, إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ, the commandment that I've given you to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرُ مِنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. This is his logic. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرُ مِنْهُ. I am better than him. Imprint these words in your heart and your mind. يَوْمِيًا نَسْمَعْ هَذِي الْكَلِمَاتِ. Daily we hear these words, even from religious identities, from people who are practicing. You don't need to necessarily utter these words, but as ulama mentioned, that you find that even through your actions, your facial expressions, your hand gestures, your frowning, your glances of your eyes, as Imam Shawkani's Fathul Qadir speaks about forms of ghibah. If you read the tafsir of Suratul Humaza, you can just make ghibah of a person bi'aynik, via your eyes, just by glancing at a person, nudging at a person, hinting towards your comrade that look at this individual. All of this is forbidden. All of this, ana khayru minhu, is min qawli shaytan, min amali shaytan. It's from the statement of the devil, the actions of the devil, that I'm better than this individual. I'm better than another individual. وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't ever claim sanctity for yourself. Don't ever claim purity for yourself. Don't ever claim أَنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Don't ever claim that inside your life. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Only Allah knows who is the individual who's a purified individual, who's going to be selected. So that every single one of us should be worried every single day. Person should be worried inside their life. What will happen to me? What will my end be? Where will I be? هَلْ أَنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Am I going to be from amongst the people of paradise or the people of hellfire? Some people think كَثْرَةُ الْعِبَادَةِ كَثْرَةُ الصِّيَامِ, excessive worship, excessive fasting, excessive good actions. وَلَكِنْ أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who the bankrupt individual is? Who a losing individual is on the Day of Judgment? A loser on the Day of Judgment isn't one who comes with many good deeds. A losing individual on the Day of Judgment is one. وَلَكِنْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَلَعْنَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا. He cursed this one. He reviled this one. He done wrong to this one. He said this statement to this one. He hit this one. وَأَخَذَ حَقَّ هَذَا. He took the right of this individual. So what will happen? What is a barter exchange on the Day of Judgment? Is it pounds and dollars? The exchange on the Day of Judgment is الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. Is good deeds and bad deeds. That's what's going to be exchanged. May Allah forbid my good deeds are given to you, and your bad deeds are lumbered upon me. That's what's going to be exchanged on the Day of Judgment. That people take it as something trivial, take it as something light. That on the Day of Judgment, that Allah will be Ghafoor Rahim. Allah will be Ghafoor Rahim to His ibad. If you may have carried out deficiencies in actions of practice which belong to Allah, haqqullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma haqqul ibad. As for rights of human beings, Allah has no relationship towards that. هَذَا بَيْنَكْ وَبَيْنَهُ. This is between you and that person. So the exchange will be there. You can't say, oh Allah, forgive me and pardon me for carrying out this action against this individual. There will be no intervention. It will be a loss of your good deeds and the taking of bad deeds. So Iblis, he gave this logic about I'm better than this individual. And thus you find أول جريمة في السماء وعلى الأرض هو الحسد. The first sin in the heavens and upon the earth is jealousy. Some people may think Iblis is full of kibr, is one view. But al-kibr, arrogance stems from jealousy. If you read deep down within it, you find that the essence of arrogance was jealousy. Because Allah had given something to Adam, alayhi salam, which was not given to Iblis. So he knew that Adam, the human being, is going to become more powerful, is going to become more praiseworthy, is going to have more rights than him. So this led him to show arrogance, to not bow down in front of him. The key element of al-hasad, the element within the heart of the individual. And that's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلْ حَسَنَاتْ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبْ أَوْ قَالَ الْعُشُبْ. Woe upon you, be careful and stay away from jealousy. Because indeed jealousy eats away, burns away your good deeds, just like fire burns away wood. Another word you find, al-ushub, the grass, the vegetation. In today's language, the bushfires. Just a small plantation, a small glimmer of light, a small glimmer of fire burns acres, hectares of land is burned. That's what jealousy does. Burns away the good deeds, takes away the good deeds of the individual. And that's what we find, iyyakum, beware of. Numerous ahadith, as we mentioned previously, that a person needs to look into kalimat al-rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, to study his words. As we mentioned, jawami' al-kalim, concise words, precise words, simple words, iyyakum, woe upon you. Iyyakum wad-dukhul ala nisa. Woe upon you, stay away from entering into a gathering of women. As we mentioned previously, it doesn't need a technical discussion. It doesn't need a modern day interpretation. Whether there's fawa'id, there's benefits, or there's harms. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Prophet ﷺ speaks revelation, speaks on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that the sickness in our hearts is we try to doubt those words. So we bring these excuses. It doesn't really mean that today in today's world. So once again here, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. Stay away from any form of jealousy. And as we mentioned that, unfortunately, many individuals who maybe even practice their faith, they are full of jealousy. As we began with, because the heart hasn't been refined. The heart hasn't been tuned to focus upon these diseases of the heart. The vile diseases of the heart. Al-hiqdi, al-ghil, al-shuh. That we find hatred, greed, miserliness, jealousy that we find. These are all vile diseases of the heart. They stem from the heart. Then they begin to profess inside society. What is jealousy? Ulama have described jealousy as you don't want another person. You don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow his bounty upon somebody else. Even though you have so much of that bounty yourself. You don't want someone else to have a blessing. Even though you have that blessing yourself, you don't want another person to be wealthy. You don't want another person to have knowledge. You don't want another person to have a position or some form of respect. You may already have that yourself. But this is what jealousy is. You don't want anybody to be, if you can use such words, linguistically equal to you or to have what's been given to you. Other ulama, they mentioned it is sufficient to constitute jealousy if he or she hates that the other person has even received the blessing in the first place. That's what Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi shar of Riyadh al-Salihin mentions, and likewise qad nukila an Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi. It constitutes jealousy. Why has that person got that blessing? They're not deserving of the blessing to be bestowed upon this individual. Not befitting for this person that this blessing is given to that individual. Jealousy spreads through the body, spreads through the blood, makes a person boil over, may Allah forbid, till eventually even blood relationships, that it leads to take away rights of the people who are close to you, even blood relatives. That's why we want to narrate two stories inside the Quran, which show that even amongst al-Anbiya, even amongst the progeny, the lineage of the prophets, you could see how jealousy leads to individuals to carry out certain actions. Awwalan, we find it's that Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانٌ فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th chapter of the Quran, we find, narrate to them the story of the two sons of Adam, whereby Allah accepted it from one of them and did not accept it from the other individual. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. One of them said to the other individual, indeed, I'm going to slay you. I'm going to murder you. I'm going to kill you. قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The other individual said, indeed, Allah only accepts it from the pious individuals. Read Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. That's what we mentioned many times, all of us. خُذْ حَذَّكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Take your daily share of the Qur'an, of recital, as we began with, and tadabbur. Read Tafsir of these ayat to get a depiction of what the Qur'an is trying to teach us. The two sons of Adam alayhi salam, even though some ulama, minute view, go to the view, they're not Qabil and Habil. ولكن قول الراجح معظم العلماء التفسير وعلى رأس ابن كثير في تفسيره القرآن العظيم قد نقل عنا اسمهما القابيل وهابيل. Some ulama don't accept it, but أي حال, we accept it. Majority of the ulama of tafsir have mentioned these were the two sons of Adam عليه السلام, قابيل and هابيل. And even in English language you find Cain and Abel is mentioned inside the Bible as well. We find that Qabil and Habil, they were opposite brothers. And the sunnah that existed at that time was when Hawa alayhi salam, she gave birth to one son and one daughter. And this was specific to only that time. That pregnancy of those children who was delivered, they were allowed to marry the children that were delivered afterwards, the opposite. So one brother would marry the opposite sister. That only existed specifically at the time of Adam alayhi salam, so that the generation could continue. After that, it is forbidden for one brother to marry his own sister if they come from the same mother and the same father. It's forbidden, or from separate mothers. Ayyihal, we find that Qabil's sister was beautiful, and Habil's sister was not so beautiful. So according to the sunnah that existed there, Habil was to marry Qabil's sister. Qabil was to marry Habil's sister. But Qabil didn't want to do that. He refused to carry out the commandment that was laid out there. So in this dispute, they're now told to present a form of sacrifice. Wa sunnatullahi at that moment in time was you place your sacrifice on top of a mountain. And whoever's sacrifice was accepted, تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ, a fire would encompass it and take it. And this would be a form of exception. قَابِيل أَصْحَابُ الزَّرْعِ was a person of produce, vegetation, harvest. Bought the wheat, bought the barley and presented it there. هَابِيل was a person of غَنَم, of animals, of good produce. So he bought good produce and placed it there. Allah sent the fire and it consumed the offering of Habil. This enraged Qabil even more. So he decided to kill him. The jealousy boiled over. Read inside Surah Al-Ma'idah. He killed his own brother. Works of Tafsir, they mentioned that he didn't know how to kill him. So we find that Shaitan either came and whispered to him to wrangle his head, put his head on the ground, smash his head with rocks. Or if you find the Quran mentioned that Allah sent two crows and made them fight with one another. One killed the other. And the other one then dug a hole and pushed the crow inside there. When he looked at that, and he couldn't believe what he'd done to his own brother. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And then again, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. First he became a loser. Then he became nadimin, full of regret. That I slayed and I killed my own brother. My blood brother, I killed him. This is what I've done. That's what we find in أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل. This has been written down upon Bani Israel. Whoever kills one individual, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. You kill one innocent individual. One innocent individual is as if you've killed the whole of humanity. وفي الحديث, everybody who kills someone innocently, you find قابيل has a share of that sin. لِأَنَّهُ أَوَّلْ مَنْ صَنْعَ فِي الْقَتْلِ. Because he's the first individual who carried out the action of killing. Going back to al-hasad. Going back to jealousy that we find. The second story that we find. Sons of a prophet. Of a prophet of a prophet that we find. Surah Yusuf. The 12th chapter of the Quran. 111 verses. رَكِّزُوا عَلَى هَذِي surah. Read this surah. The only surah inside the Quran which follows a chronological order in its story. The only surah. You want to read a story from the beginning to the end? Then read Surah Yusuf. That's what Allah mentioned. That we sent down this surah. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Allah begins this surah by mentioning that we narrate to you أحسن القصص. We narrate to you the best of stories. And the end of the surah it mentions لقد كان في قصصهم إبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى. Allah mentions at the end of the surah لقد كان في قصصهم إبرة. In this story that we narrate to you is إبرة, is lessons. What is the key lesson? The key theme of this surah of Yusuf alayhi salam that we find, sons of a prophet, sons of Ya'qub, son of a prophet of Ishaq, son of a prophet of Ibrahim, that it can exist amongst them. Brothers, jealousy covers them, boils them over, that we find that it led to this evil action of these individuals. Qala ya bunayya. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. Oh my beloved sons. Oh my beloved son. When Yusuf narrates this dream. Don't narrate this dream. Don't narrate this story upon your brothers. فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He says, oh my son, don't narrate these stories to your brothers. Your half-brothers. About you being privileged. About you seeing the sun and the moon and seeing the 11 stars bowing down in front of you. Don't narrate this story. This dream has an interpretation that they will understand what it means. The privilege that's been given to you. And they saw that privilege that was given to Yusuf alayhi salam. Indeed, Shaytan is one who plots and plans against human beings. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتُ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed, inside the story of Yusuf, there are signs, there are lessons for those people who ask questions. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَ مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ أُصْبَةٌ. The brothers, half-brothers, straight away they spotted. They said, indeed, Yusuf is more beloved to our father than us. وَنَحْنُ أُصْبَةٌ. We are a strong group of men. Strong individuals, strong personalities. Why is our father giving preference to Yusuf alayhi salam? Something needs to be done about this. This needs to be stopped, this preference or this excessive love that he shows towards Yusuf alayhi salam. Inna abana lafi dalalin mubin. Our father is in clear misguidance. Nastakhrij min hadha, that a father should never show any privilege to any of his children. Treat all his children equally the same. No favoritism should be shown, because a showing of favoritism can lead eventually to jealousy, to hatred. That one child, one sibling is shown more preference over another individual. So this can even psychologically, say, traumatize the individual. That later on inside their life, it's been documented factual evidence that one sibling doesn't speak to another sibling or doesn't engage with another sibling. Or we find what's known as in mirath, inheritance. Wealth is given to one individual, not to another individual. It then leads to this hatred, this ill feeling and jealousy that begins to take place. وَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ وَوِتْرَحُوهُ أَرْضًا يَخْلُوا لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. They said, what should we do? Let us either slay Yusuf or let us and expel him from the land. It was the first view that was given. Even that wasn't the view that they took, because at least they had some shafaqa, some rahmah, that still he's a half-blooded brother. So they decided to throw him inside the well. But at the end, this ayah mentions, وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. After this, وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. After this evil action, we're going to be righteous individuals. نَقِفْ هُنَا. وَنَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. That's what we began with, of not understanding the message of the Qur'an, the intricate details of the Qur'an. Many of us in a tertiary reading, we just say, oh, this is talking about Yusuf alayhi salam, that they'll repent afterwards. That's just a general reading. That's just a skim reading. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً. Inside their story is a lesson. What is the lesson for us Muslims today? What may Allah forbid many of us that we do. Many of us, we sin openly. وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Then we openly make the statement, after I've sinned, I'll be righteous. I'll repent. I'll turn back to Allah. When it suits me, when it fits into my life, when I'm فوق أربعين, when I'm past 40, when I've enjoyed my life, I've done muharramat, I've done everything in my life, and I have one foot inside the grave, then I'll become a righteous individual like you. When I've enjoyed my life, oh, carefree. I know many, come in and nurse. Most of us, we know what is haram inside our lives. You don't need us preachers to preach to you. أَنَّ الشُّرْبُ الْخَمْرُ حَرَامُ. Drinking of intoxicants is haram. أَكْلُ الْمُخَدَّرَاتِ. The taking of drugs, الزِّنَا, fornication, adultery, الموسيقى, music, الاختلاط, بين الرجال والنساء, intermingling between men and women, الربا, أكل الربا, taking of riba, usury. You don't need anyone to preach that to you. We already know that, most of us. But our mentality, our psyche has become, let me do what I want to do. وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Then one day, I'll become a righteous individual. You know, for some of us, one day never comes. One day never comes for some of us. That day doesn't come. The day, unfortunately, comes, may Allah forbid, فِي حَالِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, in a state of disobedience. What comes to you is Malakul Maut. What comes to you is the angel of death. And this is classified as Su'ul Khatima. Classified in the Sharia as a bad ending. That's what comes. So you could say in your heart, I want to repent. But Tawbah isn't just in your heart. Izhar Tawbah, showing of Tawbah, is إِقْلَعْ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, is to refrain yourself from the sin. That's a sign of real tawbah. You refrain from the sin, self away. You pull yourself away. You show that physical change. That's the message of the Qur'an. Qur'an isn't just read the Qur'an. Qur'an, throughout amongst the major themes of the Qur'an, is a tawbah. وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ الرُّجُوعِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, to return back to Allah. To acknowledge one's sins, to seek repentance, to call upon Allah. نَبِّ عِبَادِ عَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, inform my servants. Let them know. Let them know what? What should we inform your servants? أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That I am the one that pardons and forgives. I'm the one that overlooks. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Allah has prescribed, written down upon himself to be merciful, to show compassion, to show goodness, to pardon. To whom? When a person takes those steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that this mere feeling of jealousy leads to individuals that a person has wealth. Jealousy leads an individual that I will now squander my wealth. I will now gain wealth. I will now waste wealth to be like that individual. Come in shabab, you know, how many of our youth watch these individuals who make a display of their life? And people, they want to imitate these individuals to think that this is success. This is richness. This is in pursuit of happiness. And they begin to burn their wealth, waste their wealth, in an enragement of jealousy inside their heart that I will be like that individual. Other individuals, jealousy leads them to unjustly take the property of other individuals. And as we mentioned, to spill blood, to kill and to murder other individuals. Ulama mentioned al-hasad, huwa nawun min al-kufri. Anwa' al-kufri. Al-hasad min al-kabair. Jealousy is amongst the major sins. Some ulama have gone to the view, huwa akbar min al-sariqah. Is more greater than stealing, theft, zina. Is more greater than that is jealousy, the action, the feeling of the heart. That's what jealousy is, far more superior than that. Why is it an element of kufr, of disbelief? Because in a nutshell, you're not content. You are not content with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon yourself or bestowed upon another individual. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْدُ Don't aspire to achieve or to have what Allah has preferred one over another individual. Don't aspire for that. That is قِسْمَةُ subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the division of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He divides as He wills. Another place in the Quran, أَمْ يَحْسَدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ Look how explicit the Quran is. Do you show jealousy towards people? Do you show jealousy towards people around you? Because what Allah has bestowed and given from His virtue and His blessings to this individual, to these individuals. Meaning that you're trying to argue with Allah. May Allah forbid that. Allah is not just. Why has Allah given this blessing to this individual and did not give it to me? And the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, mentions in Sharh Riyadu Salihin, he mentioned that this discontentment inside one's heart, it leads to kufr. Puts your religious belief, puts it in a state, in a dangerous and precarious problem. Because deep down inside your heart, these people are declaring that Allah has not been fair. Rakkizu alal al-hasad, just a feeling. Deep down inside your heart, you are carrying kufr, that Allah has not been fair. Discontent within one's heart, that why is Allah giving something to this individual, has not given to me. This is a losing battle. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدْ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ Because indeed, jealousy burns away your good deeds, just like fire burns away the wood or the ushab. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد The end result of jealousy فأصبح من الخاسرين That a person becomes amongst the losing individuals فأصبح من النادمين becomes amongst one of the regretful individuals خسر الدنيا والآخرة loses this world and loses the hereafter Sunnat Allahi al-Ard is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is exposed inside their jealousy or loses their good deeds. We find amongst Ahad al-Khulafa min Dawla al-Abbasiyya, one of the Khalifas from the Abbasid era that we find. He had amongst his servants, wuzara, amongst his ministers, his servants, he had one specific servant who would come to him, bring him clothes and whisper to him, give him certain instructions to go and do certain things or carry out certain commandments for him. So one of the other ministers, the leaders, he thought, Ishada, what is this? This servant, why does this Khalifa call him, speak to him, intimacy, whisper certain things to him and discuss certain things with him? Jealousy inside his heart. So he went to the Khalifa. He said, Ta'rif ada shakhs. You know, this person that you whisper in his ear when you call him and you tell him certain things, you give him certain commandments. He doesn't like to come close to you. He goes, Kaif, how is that he doesn't like to come close to me? Because when he comes close to you, he says that you have a foul stench, a foul smell from your mouth. A foul smell that comes out of your mouth. So he doesn't really like coming close to you. So Khalifa thinks, is that so? Let us call this individual to ascertain the truth. As his wazir leaves the palace, he calls this individual. He says, come to me, come with me. It is time for lunch. Come to my house. Come and eat with me. He increases al-thum wal-basal. He increases garlic and onions inside the food. So naturally now his mouth has an odor, a smell. So when they enter into the courtyard once again, the Khalifa calls him. When he comes close to the Khalifa, he covers his mouth. And he comes close to the Khalifa. The Khalifa now detects that what this wazir has advised me is the truth. Why is he covering his mouth? He's covering his mouth out of respect. That smell is emanating from his mouth. He does not want to disturb the Khalifa. So the Khalifa, he writes a message and he places his parchment inside a sealed envelope. And he hands it to him. And he says, go to the National Guard, the head of the, in today's language, the head of the army or the head of the police. Go and deliver this message to him, this sealed message. Just go and deliver it to him. So he walks out the courtroom and he comes out, and this individual, this jealous individual, wazir, he sees him with the parchment, and he knows that this parchment, it contains a message from the king or from the Khalifa. And that must be special, because normally when it's sealed in this manner, it's normally giving instructions. Give this individual X amount of money. Ishada. He thinks, what is this? I've sent this individual to be exposed, to be given a certain form of punishment. He's walking at the royal palace with a decree of some form of wealth. So he says to this miskin, he says to him, give me the parchment. Let me go and deliver this message. The person says, no, the Khalifa told me to deliver it. I have to fulfill the instructions. He says, did you forget I just treated you to a meal and took care of you? Let me take the honor. Let me have the honor of delivering this message for you. So he takes the message, takes it to the royal guard, the head of the guard. He gives it to him. He opens a parchment. And this person rubs his hand and he says, I'm dinar or dirham, I'm fidda or dhahab. Is it going to be gold or silver? What is it going to be? He says, look up there, look to the sky. When he looks up to the sky, he decapitates his head. لِأَنَّ كُتِبَ عَلَى الْوَرَقَى was written upon the piece of paper. أَنَّ حَامِلُ الْحَذِي الرِّسَالَ, the one who's carrying this letter, when he arrives to you, decapitate his head. That's what happened to this individual. The one who is supposed to carry the message, he returns back to the courtyard, to the palace. The Khalifa calls the one he expects to be with him. Instead, this individual walks in. He says, "How are you here? I gave you a message to carry." He narrates to him what took place. Khalifa says, "Annahu akana al-mahsud." He was the one who was the hasid, the one who was the jealous individual. He's been exposed. The truth comes out that this was the inner intention of that individual to take away the blessing of another individual. Al-hasad is only allowed, or what is known in the Sharia as ghibta, aspiration. A person of wealth to be like an individual to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. Or sahibul ilm, a person of knowledge, to disseminate knowledge day and night. But you know, they say that jealousy, ma huwa symbols of jealousy? There are many symbols. But I'll leave you with one symbol. Every time the person speaks to you, they're always negative. There always has to be a negative connotation when they speak to you. Yes, this may be good, but look at this. Look at this. But look at this fault of this. Look at this. That's a sign of jealousy. Don't be surprised that some of us may be taken aback. Even Qutubul Ulama, that you find jealousy leads them to write about another individual, speak about another individual. That's why sometimes it gets personal. Don't be surprised if, as we mentioned, happens amongst the sons of the prophets. So people think that somehow, no, this can't be plausible. That Sahibul Ilm wouldn't be full of jealousy. Khatib al-Baghdadi reads some of his works of ilm that we find inside the documents. The elements of jealousy led certain ulama to write against other ulama, to make incorrect statements about other individuals because of jealousy. And what do we find in the modern world around us today? An element of jealousy towards individuals, towards people. Even average individual amongst us is just full of jealousy that stems from our mouths that we find. And what is the cure? Hadith is like Sahih Muslim that we find. Look at the one who is lower than you in your life. Look at the individual who is lower than you. Don't look at the one who is above you, for that may be more from scorning the blessing of Allah. Don't always look at people above you, the wealth and the property and whatever that they may have. Look at people below you. We're not better than millions. We're better than billions. Then a hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find, if one of you looks at someone who's been given more wealth and physical beauty than you, then that person, let him look at the one who's been given less. Hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find. And likewise, the cure, every blessed individual is envied. So, conceal your blessings. Conceal your blessings. Every blessed individual, there's going to be people who are going to be jealous of that blessing. So a person needs to conceal that and protect themselves via regular adhkar. And specifically, Al-Mu'awwidhataini, Surah Al-Falaq wa Nas. And some of the ulama, the tafsir mentioned, why is Surah Al-Falaq and Nas placed at the end of the Qur'an? Amongst extractions, all these surahs, the previous 112 surahs are coming to 113 surahs, Surah Al-Falaq that we find. Reading all this Qur'an that we find, that you have to, as we began, we train your heart and your mind to avoid jealousy and to protect yourself from the jealousy of other individuals. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. From those individuals who hold jealousy. Before that, وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And those from the sorcerers, the witches that blow on knots. That's we find, مُعْظَمُ السِّحْرِ, the majority of magic is linked to the beginning of the first sin, is jealousy. Majority of magic that is done upon people is linked to jealousy. وَمِنْ أَقَارِبِكَ, and more so from people who are close to you. People who may be blood relatives towards you. Don't always want khayr for you. Don't always want good for the individual. So a person should be regular of the adhkar, regular of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them. Because these two surahs revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when Labid ibn Asim tried to carry out magic upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So these surahs were sent down, these 11 ayat, as Ali ibn Abi Talib was sent to remove, to open each knot and to blow upon it. And then that feeling that difficult feeling was taken away from the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Two small surahs that a person should focus upon inside their lives. Ba'du salatul fajri wal maghrib thalatha barrat, reading of ikhlas wal falaq wal nas, once after the rest of the prayers. In the evening before a person reclines to sleep, the Prophet alayhi salam would always recite these surahs, al ikhlas wal falaq wal nas, spittle on his hands and wipe it over his body. And when he became so ill, he wasn't able to do that. He asked Aisha radiallahu anha to do that and wipe over his body. And he was the most protected of individuals, or the only ultimate total individual that was protected. But yet he carried out the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place us all under his protection and the aid and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep the evil eyes of people away from us. Keep the hearts of the jealous individuals far away from us. Place a barrier between us and these individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our ni'am, in our blessings, and our fadl, and our virtue, and our ilm, and our knowledge, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon every single one of us, that Allah has bestowed upon all of us. All of us should feel content and happy inside our lives, and pray for this Muslim Ummah, that this Muslim Ummah increases in richness, inside ilm, inside knowledge, in action, in practice, in wealth, in property, in honor, in dignity, in prestige, in honor. Pray for this Muslim Ummah to come back once again.